This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale. Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of Soap from the Box, the behind-the-scenes TV podcast where I speak to some of the biggest stars from the biggest television shows, plus, of course, Pop from the Box, where I speak to some of the world's biggest music stars. And coming later this week, Sophie Ellis-Bextor joins me, sequins and all, for a brand new chat. That's out on Friday. But for now, I'm going to let you listen to this, one of EastEnders' biggest stars, one of social media's biggest stars. Enjoy. My guest today is an English actress, TV presenter and social media megastar. She is best known to millions of us soap fans as playing Lauren Branning for 8 years in EastEnders and is a certified winner, baby, being crowned Queen of the Jungle in 2019, winning Masked Sing Alive in 2022 and the National Television Award for Best Newcomer in 2012. She was one of my highlights of directing at EastEnders. You always knew a day with her, Lorna, Jake and Joe would be a dream. It's a pleasure to welcome Jacqueline Josser, Jacqueline Osborne, to the show. Hello.
That was the nicest intro I have ever had in my life.
Was it?
Thank you so much. Yes.
Well, that's what it's all. It's well deserved and it's all true. I mean, we have, first of all, I just have to say it, and I'm not making it up, it was always a dream. You, Lorna, Jake, it was such a lovely little group, wasn't it? Your family.
It really was. It was such, I always say, I just feel like I was so lucky to sort of slot into that family dynamic, and it couldn't have gone better. And having like Joe and Jake as your on-screen parents was just like unbelievable. It was electric when we were all together.
It was. I mean, we're going to go back to the beginning soon, but I mean, I joined and did the Queen Vic Fire first, which was nerve-wracking enough, so I didn't work with them as close. But then I remember my first day on set with Jake, because they were, I mean, you're all brilliant actors. Jake and Joe would take it, you know, there were some we won't name names, some people you'd just walk on and do scenes with. They were quite intense and really enjoyed talking about the scene and working out, which I love as a director. So it must have been quite intense for you going in, because it's suddenly you're with these powerhouses.
I think I sort of loved to do drama on a Saturday and Sunday for fun. And then I was sort of thrown into working with the big guys. And they really were, like you said, really like analysing and really like knowing how to do their stuff. And I learned how to learn lines, how to go through a scene, like put my status in, all from them. Like all, everything I learned
comes
it really
from...
wasn't in like a drama class. It was on set.
Yeah. That's, I mean, it's the biggest learning ground, they say. So let's go. We're going to go back to the beginning soon, but let's go to what's just happened, which obviously there's been an extended edition for, God rest her soul, June Brown, who played Dot Cotton, her funeral, Dot's funeral after the real life death, of course, of June Brown. You, along with, I mean, the guest list was huge. Lord Michael Cashman, who played Colin, Gary Hales, who played Barry, Tom Watt, who plays Lofty, Linda Davison, Mary and Lofty, how cool, and Jan Graveson, Dizer, don't remember her, so sorry if I'm pronouncing the wrong, but I mean, it obviously was probably not even a question when you got asked to go back for that.
You know what, I was so hoping they would ask, like, I was just like, come on, like, she's Grandma Dot to Lauren, I'd love to go back, and as soon as they asked, I was like, yeah, my agent was like, well, should we talk about fees? This, I don't care. Yes, we're doing it. Like 100%, there was no other option.
What was it like? I mean, because I haven't been back for years. I'm guessing it might have been a bit like going back from the beginning, because obviously cast change. The whole place has changed since you've been back. Was it weird going back?
Yeah, I was really scared. I was so scared. And I felt like how I felt when I was 17 going into it, you know, like I was really
like
frightened.
The new girl again, yeah.
I really was as well. There was pretty much a whole new cast. Like there's loads and loads of new people, but you know what? They were so lovely. And I realised I was quite old, and a lot of the young ones were, because I remember being a young one and I was in the young
Yeah.
group. And then when I went back, I was like, oh, this is interesting. Where do I fit in? Because the young ones are like 17 and tiny and just doing all TikToks and cool stuff.
And
So
you're
I
like
was
the
trying
nana
to
of the
find
group
my
now.
place.
I know.
Yeah,
It's
exactly.
weird,
But
isn't
I
it?
was so lovely.
And the square's totally changed. Obviously, there's a new square as well. Like I've not been back since it's changed. It's massive now, isn't it?
So it's so confusing because it's in a different spot,
It's a
but
different
it looks
entrance, isn't it? The
exactly the
old entrance we used to go in isn't an entrance anymore, is it?
It's near the bar now.
Right. Oh, wow.
It's all built up round near the bar, yeah. But it looks exactly the same, so it is a bit confusing, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I love. I mean, I don't love. I mean, anyone who lives in Bournemouth, sorry, but it's the weirdest place in the world. And I used to. I mean, I've not been back since I left EastEnders, because the weirdest thing about EastEnders to me was you would go to Bournemouth, whether by train or by car, and it was just like this really quiet little town. But then the part of East London was supposed to be in the middle of it. It was so mad, isn't it?
Yeah, do you know what though? Bournemouth's got the best high street ever. It's got everything you could ever want or dream of down that high street. I loved it.
Do
I
you
actually
think
moved.
so? I didn't really think there was much down it.
Are you joking? It has absolutely everything you could possibly need.
I remember I spent more on an Ibis, staying in an Ibis for a 2-week block of EastEnders, than it cost me to go to the, where did we go? Like some Caribbean island. I was like, oh my God. It wasn't great for nightlife. Like there wasn't any bars and stuff. That's what I missed
Oh,
on the.
no nightlife whatsoever. I'm just talking about like your takeaway food options and
Oh
stuff like
yeah. Oh right. Yeah. Takeaway food
that.
options. Nando's all the way. Did you ever have a Nando's black card? Were you one of the lucky ones?
No, I got a Toby Carvery black card now though.
Did you? Oh my God. Amazing. Dreams. The dreams and aspirations. So anyway, back to
Exactly.
Doc's Funeral. I mean, what was it like to film? Obviously, June Brown is a legend and we'll always remember her for Doc Cotton. I find it a shame that she didn't play out the character, I suppose, in a way. I would have liked to have seen her in one final big thing, but you know,
I remember June saying that she never wanted to be killed off on screen. I
yes, I
think
do
it
remember
was
that
part
actually, yeah.
of what kept her going for so long, being Dot Cotton
Dot,
and
yeah.
learning the lines and just staying. I mean, she always had her like brains and wits about her. She was like, it never sort of deteriorated when you're on set, you know, like, because obviously sometimes when you're working with older people, it does take slightly longer, or you know, the only thing you had to do with June was talk a little bit louder, but everything else, I mean, she'd tell you how to say your lines and she'd
Oh
always be right,
yeah.
you know.
Oh God, yeah. And it did take longer only because I mean, she used to come on, she's reminding me of Kenneth Williams, and she'd be smoking and tell you kind of all the dramas that were happening. You'd be like, oh my God, we really need to line run. I'm gonna fall so far behind. But then you were
You could
like,
not interrupt her, can you?
no. And I was like, but I just want to listen to June because she was so amazing. And she did. I mean, she's one of the people I learned a lot of directing, because I'd never seen an actor pay. And I always say this because I think nowadays in television, people think actors are being difficult if they want to talk about their wardrobe or whatever. And actually, I go, no. Like, June cared so much about that character. She knew which tea set to use for which person coming
Yes.
around. Like, it was incredible the level of detail she gave to that character.
100%. That is so true. And I think she didn't want to be killed off on screen because I think I remember her saying something like, it will kill her off, you know?
And what was it like filming the funeral? I mean, seeing all those, but you weren't in it with a lot of those people that used to be there, but there must have been quite an atmosphere filming it.
It was, yeah, and we all shared stuff. Obviously, you know what it's like. You spend a lot of time actually offset and sipping
Tea, yeah, in the
tea and
cold.
in your cover coats. But and it was really quite amazing. Like just listening to all the stories. June's family came by, her children were actually in the block. They're like in the funeral.
Oh,
They're sitting
wow.
down. And we're all just sharing these amazing memories and stories about her. And it was really quite, you felt like she was there in a weird way and you felt close to her. And it was the send off that I think we all needed. We needed to pay our respects to not only Dot, but to June.
To June,
and
yeah.
It was funny, like, because obviously you know what June was like, all the hilarious stories that you'd never be able to tell. She's brilliant. Like, there's so much more to June than you could possibly imagine.
Oh, no. I remember, I always remember her and Barbara Windsor would always have a roast dinner in the canteen. And if you sat with them, I mean, you'd be there for hours and it was just the best time ever. And if she came to, like, drinks or a party, she used to be so glammed up.
Oh, my gosh. I know. She's just the best.
It was
really special. And I tell you what, Nat Cassidy did an incredible job. I always say this, but I think she's so underrated. I think she's so fantastic.
She is. She is. Oh, she's amazing. And she's kind of become, I suppose, one of the matriarchs now, because a lot of the older matriarchs are gone.
If you think of EastEnders, she's a huge part of it. And she just done a fantastic performance that had us all in absolute bits. It was so real. It was so good. I'm so excited for everybody to see it and see the response, because it was beautiful.
It will go down in history as one of those episodes. Let's go back to the beginning, though, when you joined. So you joined EastEnders in 2010. Can't believe it's that far over. And you had a hard job because you were one of the actors in soaps that took over from another actress playing the role of Lauren, Madeleine Duggan. It's only like theatre. It's nothing, you know, like people replace people. But I suppose there's a pressure because obviously that family's been going and then you're entering that family. So like we talked about the nerves, you must have thought that through as you're joining.
It was really difficult for me because I was a massive fan of EastEnders. So I watched EastEnders, knew the family.
Oh, did you? Oh, God. That's so, yes, God, that you'd be so nervous.
And, you know, I absolutely loved Lauren. And when I was younger and I used to go out to, like, parties or anything like that, people would say, oh, you look like Lauren Brannan. And it was, you know, so weird. And then when I was auditioning, I wasn't told I was auditioning for a recast. I was just told I was auditioning for a character on EastEnders. And the name was called something completely different, like Libby or something like that. And it was only when I got the job, they were like, okay, so you're
going to be the new
actually,
Lauren.
Recasting. Yeah, because obviously they have to keep the recast quiet and everything like that. And I was like, what do you mean there's already a Lauren? Like, I couldn't understand it because I was watching it. I literally watched it. So I was like, wait, but she's gone to America. And they were like, yeah, and she's going to come back as you. And I'm like, oh.
which in real life probably does happen. People do probably go to America and do come back looking completely different.
Yeah, but my first line and the whole thing was, cool, you've changed, to my dad, which I thought was absolutely hilarious.
That is brilliant. And do you remember your first day? Do you remember your first day on set? I mean, it must, like we said, it was no. Was that your first scene, or did you get thrown into some like pub scene first? Because obviously, we know they film it all out of order.
It wasn't my first scene. My first scene, we were sitting eating pancakes, cold, freezing cold pancakes, with Charlie Hawkins. I remember that because he was my mentor.
Oh, I love Charlie Hawkins. Yeah, I love those guys. With Zoe as well.
Yes. So yeah. He was literally like, with all my heart, I just absolutely loved him. But he was my mentor, which is good. They like buddy you up with someone when you're younger. So he sort of took me under his wing and it was great. And I got to meet everyone and it was just a simple scene eating pancakes for breakfast because, yeah, we were just sort of sitting there talking. And I think I had one or two lines. And then the next day I was being pulled around the square by Carol Jackson by my hair.
Oh, wow. Lindsay as well, who's a force to be reckoned with. Lindsay. What a brilliant actress. Yeah.
And that was my second day and she was screaming and
pulling, oh my God.
From where she lived all the way to, so through the whole square from the Jacksons all the way to where we were living, the Brannies, number 5. And she had to pull me the whole way through. And I literally was like, this is not what I expected. I just did like a drama, you know, Saturday and Sunday for fun. I didn't,
it was going to be to this. Yeah.
It was just so, and it was so quick. The whole thing happened so quickly for me.
And well, that's what happened. I mean, I've been involved in casting characters, and it's quite a slow thing until you cast them, and suddenly they're in next week. You go through costume, you go through everything, and then suddenly you're in. And normally, if you're a new character, you're in loads at the beginning anyway, and you coming back, and then it's just nonstop. I mean, I was a fan of EastEnders. Yeah, probably I wasn't watching it as much when I joined, but it's so weird, isn't it, when you walk out onto that square? I'll never forget how little the square was. I'll never forget just walking through doors and being like, oh my God, there's like nothing. There's not even a building here. I mean, it's incredible, isn't it? And like the bricks at the time were like plastic. I was like, how is this even still standing?
It was the best day of my life when I went and saw the Vic for the first time.
Yeah.
And I went and saw, Jake Wood took me around, and I literally, number one, I was so buzzing to meet him. I was a huge fan of EastEnders in general, and I loved the Brannins. I loved Bradley. I had a little crush on Bradley for my whole like childhood. Unfortunately, he had died by the time I'd got there.
Oh, did he? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I had the same with Lacey Turner, and I was actually so nervous. My first scenes with Lacey Turner, and I could not believe how nervous she was still playing that role and not really thinking she was good. It's just weird, isn't it, when you watch something and then you're like, now I am and I'm here doing it.
I was her biggest fan. Like, I still am. I bloody love her. But, I think any actress like that wants to be an actress, and like EastEnders would have been my ideal job. I'm from like Southeast London. I honestly thought in my head, that is the freaking job for me. Like,
and you got it, which is incredible. It is incredible that
I am EastEnders, like through and through. Like, I just thought that this is just a bit of me. Like, I don't have to change my voice. I would sit there so well. Like, I had it in my head. And so Lacey was a massive like role model for me, because I just thought, she's so good, so real, she's so natural. And then like,
suddenly you're in scenes with her.
I was working with her, plotting out who killed Archie, and then finding it all out. And Lauren was the one that found it out and recorded her and all of this. And I had huge parts in all of it. And I was like, I remember when Archie died, and I was watching it on telly thinking, who killed him? Who killed him?
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
So amazing.
All of a sudden, I'm in the plot, you know? It was crazy.
And the plots there would take, I mean, we'd need 10 podcasts to go through all what Lauren did, as with many characters. Huge storylines include running over your dad, supporting mum through cancer. Obviously, you were a huge part of the Who Killed Alfie. You were a huge part of the Lucy, the next whodunit storyline as well. You gave birth to Peter, son Peter, obviously played by Ben Hardy, who's now a huge Hollywood actor. It's great, actually, isn't it? Seeing people when they go off and take, like, it doesn't often happen. It's great to see Ben doing so well, isn't it?
It's so lovely. And you know what? Loads of people are really taken off, like Tilly Keeper has left, and she's on Netflix. You've got so many people just breaking that mold. And, you know, like, I remember it being a thing of like typecast and you'll never work again and all of this. And I just love that.
It's not like that anymore. It does seem to be changing.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I love it.
It does seem to be changing. But what was your, highlight storylines there? I mean, you went through it. You also had, Lauren had her fair share of the best looking guys to come into the square as well. You're quite lucky that way.
Didn't she? She done very, very well. I literally used to make a joke, like, I probably snogged all of the men that weren't related to her. In fact, she did snog her cousin a fair few times.
Rubbish, yeah. But any new good-looking guy that came in, you knew Lauren would be making a beeline for.
I know. Even in my return, she makes a beeline. Honestly, even now, she's not changed it. I read it and was like, iconic. I love the fact that she's still not changed. She makes a little I won't spoil it, but she makes a little beeline for someone you'd probably consider good looking on the square, and it's just really funny.
I know exactly who you're meaning.
To her character.
Well.
Yeah, and I just enjoyed it and thought, that's just brilliant. I love that she's done that.
She's still the same. What stands out? I mean, obviously, all the stuff with the family obviously stands out.
I think
the family unit,
the alcoholic storyline.
Oh, the alcoholic storyline, which was massive and really important as someone, because that's was a really one of those really important storylines. Someone of that age, you know, seeing it truthfully like soaps do.
Yeah, definitely. I thought that was a big one, and I think it always stands out. And people, when they speak to me, often bring that up. So I do feel like that one was a big one for me. But also, just I loved working with Lorna. I felt like anything that we kind of had that we could, like, I don't know, that sister relationship, whether it was we were close or we were literally screaming in each other's faces, I just absolutely loved anything to do with that kind of family dynamic. And then obviously when you add Jake to the mix, I loved falling off the roof of the Vic. I loved filming all of that. That was good fun. I mean,
going back to the alcohol storyline, though, did you get quite a big, I mean, normally these stories, did you get a huge response from people watching?
Yeah, a huge, huge response. Just mainly, I didn't really have social media then. So it was mainly like, as I was walking down the street, people would come up to me and be like, my daughter's suffering. Wow. And we're watching this and we've finally been able to talk about it. And anything like that, it just makes you go, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really important part of doing that job. It proved to me why soap is so important, actually, because it's something in people's lives every day and they really connect to the characters. If something happens to one of their characters, it's almost like they really take it on board.
So, so true. And also, I think often when you, because people cared about Lauren and they saw her in that family dynamic and they watched her grow up, that when something like that happened to her, they saw both sides of it. So they saw, like, why and the reasons for it and everything like that and the build up to it, rather than, oh, she's just a ratty teenager alcoholic that loves to get pissed. There was so much more to it,
yeah,
which I think in a soap you can drag out and you can really like actually see the person. And I properly cared about her so much. I still do, like, honestly. And if anyone starts slating her, I'm like, that's
yeah, it's one of the hardest things to play, though. I know this, playing drunk. I mean, it's, you know, when one of those things that we never, well, thank God, no one really takes videos of me when I'm drunk. I was going to swear then, when I'm drunk. And you don't really know, how did you go about playing it? Because it is hard to play drunk, isn't it?
Totally. And I probably had to play drunk before I'd properly been drunk, much like I had to, you know, snog and film like what would lead into
well, yeah, play a lot
before
of stories.
I'd even... Yeah, done that in real life. I sort of had to do it all firsthand through Lauren, which was interesting.
Yeah.
So, and it also meant I couldn't really, because my character was an alcoholic, it meant that when I was out, I had to be really careful because I couldn't go get really recklessly drunk because people would be watching, you know?
Yeah, you had a responsibility then as well, I suppose, taking on that story.
Definitely. So, it kind of helped me, I suppose. I think because everyone goes through that weird stage where you just go out every weekend getting absolutely plastered Thursday to Sunday when you're that age. But because I was always working and filming that storyline specifically, talking to a charity about it, I just felt like I couldn't really do that.
Yeah. And you said about the end, obviously, falling from the Vic, you and Abby die. Now, it was all over the press that you were axed. Was it the call that you were dreading? I mean, or had you thought about moving on?
So, it's really funny because I think, obviously, when you're there for 8 years, everybody knows that there were points I probably should have left and then stayed and then should have left.
Yeah,
because
you kind of had breaks, didn't you? Because you left to have...
I had a couple of breaks. Lauren went off to rehab and I thought, should this be? And then all of a sudden I'm back. And then I had a baby and I thought, should this be it? Like, should I take the plunge? And then I was like, no, I want to go back. And I was actually pregnant with me. Yeah, when it was time to go, and I saw it as like a sign of like, come on.
Yeah.
So I would have had to leave anyway, and it meant that I got to do a huge storyline, and I love all the, you know, falling off the things and pushing yourself, and it was such a, I love being on Christmas Day. It's just iconic, like it's just amazing. But it was scary, and I felt like I had to be pushed in order to do it. I never would have left on my own back.
No, yes, so many people say that because it's such a security blanket. It's such a security blanket, isn't it?
And also, like, at the end of the day, was literally my dream job. Like, I didn't, you know, like everyone sort of aims for the stars.
Yeah, this was it for you. This was it.
That was like the stars for me. Like, honestly, I used to write about it in year six, my leavers.
It's amazing that.
What do you want to be when you're older? And I said, I want to be in EastEnders because I just saw myself in EastEnders. I knew that I would squeeze and fit
right
in. And
it's lovely,
you know?
It's lovely it fulfilled it for you as well. Do you know what I mean? Because lots of people dream of things and then actually, you know, like you go, I dream of meeting whatever and it doesn't live up to, but it is a great place to be. Do you know what I mean? And what a way, like you said.
To everything and more. I didn't even realise you got paid at first. Honestly, I didn't. I didn't know. I didn't realise you got paid. That was a bonus. I was like, wait, hold on. I get to do my dream job every day and I don't have to go to college and then I get paid. Are you joking?
Are you joking? What about the fame that comes with it? Because, I mean, back in the day that you would have joined, it was still probably, it was still at its highest, you know.
Yeah, it was getting 10 million views and stuff, but...
Did you, did you find it a sudden, it is a sudden catapult to fame at that age. And obviously it's quite a tricky age when you're, like you said, you're changing yourself, you're growing up. So suddenly to be, have the world watching at the same time must be, I can't imagine it. Do you know what I mean? I mean, just me going to work on those big shows, your life suddenly changes with what you can say and what you can't say and whatever. But for you, you're there on the forefront. What was it like?
I just don't think you can... I thought, oh, what will my friends think? And I thought, I was excited for everyone that I ever fancied before when I was younger to find out that I was going to be Miss Genders. Like, that's all I thought about. Like, ha, 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 you know, look at me now sort of thing.
And all the
people at school.
They've been horrible. That were a bit,
you know, all of that. I just thought, ha, 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 like I've finally done it sort of thing. But I didn't ever cross my mind that people would recognise me or that I'd be famous. Like that never crossed my mind, just like I didn't realise you got paid. Like that part didn't come in until a fair bit later. And then it was madness. And I remember thinking, this is crazy. And obviously at first, I bloody loved it. I was like, I'm so famous. I'm literally just
a And it's great you admit that because I think we would all love that at first. We'd be like, oh, I can't leave the house without being spotted. But then I suppose it gets slightly annoying.
It's when real life comes into it. And like my dad went to prison and then I was printed everywhere. And I thought, oh, this isn't the fun side of it. Like I don't mind being pictured at an awards ceremony. That's great. Like this is all fun. And but then the other side of it is everyone knowing that kind of your private life that you didn't sign up for. Just because I got this role when I was a kid didn't mean that I signed up for the rest that come with it. But actually it does, you know.
Yeah, so, no, it's part and parcel. And it's something, like you said, you can't ever train people for, because you can't ever, I can imagine what it's like, but I can't imagine what it's like because we're not in that position and you almost need to get in that position to see whether it's something you can cope with, which is such a weird thing. Do you know what I mean? You've got no choice to decide, really.
It doesn't happen to every soap star isn't like thrown into the press and doesn't excel to that sort of, it doesn't happen to absolutely everyone. So there is ways of being able to like do the job you love and still like have a really private normal life and stuff like that. So it's just, you kind of don't know until you're in it that it's going to happen. And to be honest, I can take it, and it's never been, I like to have my fun with the press and the side of it.
Yeah.
Especially as I've grown up and as
and
I get older.
How to navigate it. Yeah. And I think all praise be to the people of Bournemouth, because I just remember the time I left EastEnders, the canteen, don't know whether it's probably got better, so I might, but it was terrible. And we would all basically go to M&S at lunch in the park or many other shops. And literally you would see most of the cast of EastEnders walking around and half the cast of Holby City. It was quite weird, wasn't it?
And no one really batted an eyelid, did they?
No. Bournemouth were just used to it. And I used to think, God, all these fans, because you would get a few fans waiting outside the gates, but you used to think, actually, if you want to see famous people, just come to Bournemouth at lunch and sit outside Marks and Spencer's. You would literally get the whole cast of EastEnders. You also did a spin-off series, which I have to admit I never watched. I didn't realise this existed. Lauren's Diaries in 2011.
It was sort of like, it wasn't on telly. That's a bit dramatic, that is. It was just like an online sort of
dramatic
thing.
But quite forward thinking then, an online thing, because they're huge now.
It was, and it was on the website. And actually, I think it helped me, definitely grew my confidence. But so Lauren was doing these sort of like YouTube diary entries.
Wow. So it was like, really, you were like, Lauren was like the driving force of YouTube.
Right. So then I was like, this is crazy. But then I guess helped, like, I don't know, socially. Then when I got Instagram, I gained loads of followers quickly. And I don't know whether that maybe was something to do with it. I really don't know, because again, it didn't happen for everyone. Some people got Instagram and they just had it with their friends and that. And for me, I was like, whoa, it just blew up. And I didn't know why, really. I literally had no idea.
I don't think there's any rhyme or reason. I remember, what was that other
And you weren't even allowed to use it. Like when you're on
EastEnders. No, you weren't allowed it on EastEnders at that time. No. What was the other spin-off series they did as well? Was it for BBC?
E20.
And I remember thinking at the time, and this is how life has changed. I remember thinking, Oh, I wouldn't want to work on that. It's not like on BBC One. And how life has changed now that literally everyone is watching content that's not on the main channels.
Totally, yeah.
Isn't
that
it?
That was life with Fat Boy and all of that. That was brilliant. Yeah, I loved that.
And obviously now, like, we'll move on to you in a minute. Nowadays, I mean, ratings have gone down of all the soaps. I did some talks at some schools recently and the kids didn't even know what these soaps were. And I was kind of like, oh, what
no
is the
way.
Future? Yeah. 18-year-olds no. didn't know what EastEnders, Emmerdale and Coronation Street were. and I was quite shocked. And you go, I wonder if there's a future. I hope there's a future, don't you, for soap? But it isn't, like, because you just think people don't tune in at 7:30 every night now. Kids, the new generation's coming through, watch 5-minute films on YouTube and stuff. It might change,
yeah,
mightn't it, which
world.
Is quite
it's
scary.
It's terrifying, and it is a totally different world. I think we watch and consume things totally differently now. I think if soaps were to move on to something like Netflix, then you would watch it every single night and you'd get millions and millions and millions of viewers, because how often do we scroll through Netflix and go, oh, there's nothing to watch.
Oh, there's nothing to
we
watch, yeah. I know, even though there's so much to watch.
Sky on and put BBC One on. We still won't bother doing that when we could have just sat and watched half an hour of Corrie.
I think that it should be streamable. That's the thing. People's viewing things now, or people's lives don't allow them to go home every night and watch it at that time of the night.
Definitely. And I think you would just stick it on, 100%. If it's easy and it's there, you just stick it on and then you'd get into the storyline. I don't think that, because people always say, do you think it's still going to be here in 10 years? And I'm like, I do think it is, because I think there's always a place for it. You know, like, I think...
Will Lauren you ever go back, do you think, after making another appearance? I mean, you probably wouldn't say, but could Lauren become the new, like, Pat Butcher of the Square in years to come?
100%. I would 100% go back. The thing for me is there's certain rules at BBC/, I think, maybe all of them. I don't know, because I've never worked on Corrie or anything like that. That with things that I'm doing now, you can't do both.
Right. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
But even in a world that existed
where that wasn't true,
my jobs and things that I was doing was different, then I would, if there was a world that existed that I could just do everything, I would 100% put the leather jacket back on and the boots and get going, because it's the best job in the world and got enough, not a bad word.
And it's still your dream job. And I would say, like, all those things probably will change as the BBC and lots of other institutions catch up with the fact that they need to catch up and their cast are going to do a lot more than just one thing now.
Exactly, yeah. And I think, obviously, EastEnders, BBC, they're doing what they can, and I think it will happen. And I don't think
it's worth it. Come on, BBC, to get Lauren back, yeah, we need to change the rules.
I don't think it's the end for the soaps. I mean,
hope not.
Still
I
care.
Hope not.
And after everything, like, I won the Jungle and things like that, I get Lauren the most out of everything. Lauren.
I just hope, you know why I worry? My main worry is the matriarchs and the patriarchs, because people like June Brown and Pan St. Clemens have stayed in the soap for like 20 plus years, and younger actors just don't want to stay anywhere for that long. So I just worry that which characters are going to be those Pat Butchers and stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. But I think you've got the Phil Mitchells, Natalie Cassidy, Sonia Jackson.
Yeah, you've still got Sharon, you've got Kat. You've got quite a lot in EastEnders, actually.
And they always come home, because ultimately, like, even when I went back the filming took about 2 weeks, and I was so nervous to go back, and I felt a little bit like, are people gonna, because I've done so much elsewhere, like social media, and
are they gonna look down on you a bit? Yeah.
Yeah. I was a bit like,
I get that. Yeah.
I haven't really been in the acting realm. Are there people are gonna think, like, are they gonna be like, oh, here we go, you know, sort of thing. And then,
of course you didn't have that, yeah.
Like, of course I didn't, and I can't believe I ever thought that was going to be a thing. I think you just fear the worst. But
yeah, we all do. That's just natural.
And it was totally the opposite, and I literally was like, I could stay here forever. I love it. This is the best job in the world. And I really realised that, like, that's where my happiest and my passion and, like, enjoyment comes from, that side of things, you know?
Okay, so we'll leave EastEnders behind and we'll get to the real you for a little bit. So born in 1992 in Bexley, like you said, you went to the D&B Theatre School in Bromley, followed by the Royal Academy of Music in London. So we've kind of said what your dream job was, but what was the dream to act, or did you never think that might be your actual job?
I didn't go to the Royal Academy of whatever that was.
Didn't you? Have I just made that up?
No, I you know what? I've read that on Wikipedia a few times. I don't know where that came from, but that's not true.
It sounds great.
I'll take it. It does sound really artsy. Yeah, love it. Great year.
Brilliant. My time at the Royal Academy was amazing.
I did always, well, I say always. When I was younger, I don't think I really knew. When I was sort of year six, I remember doing a year six play and like just got the main part. And I remember thinking, that was fun. Like, I loved that. And I wasn't really academically great at anything. And then I just felt like I was good at something. And I remember thinking, oh, that's what it feels like to be picked for something and be good. Like, that was good. I really enjoyed that. And I was never picked for, like, reading in assembly because I'm not a strong reader. And my work was never picked to go be sent into anything because I just wasn't the strongest writer and that kind of thing. So when I got that feeling of, oh, you're good at that, I was like, I like that. So then just from like secondary school, just really like threw myself in. And then any time I was ever asked, you know, you do careers and they're like, so what do you want to be? And I'd be like, I want to be an actress. And they're like, mm-hmm. So what's your like real option?
Yeah. What do you actually want to do? Sure. Yeah.
Which I toy with the idea that maybe it's important to have backup plans. I do think it is important, but for me, I never had one. Like, there wasn't a backup plan for me. And I don't think it was because I just was like, no, I need to just throw myself in. I think there genuinely wasn't anything else that I was great at, if you know what I mean.
I think as well, when you're young, I think if you really want to do it, you have to, in a way, commit to it. Because, like, I wanted to act when I was younger and decided that I'd go behind the scenes because I didn't think I just quite had the drive. But I do think you probably have to have that drive to go full pelt to want to get it, because it's hard.
And it was the first time, like, I remember my mum used to put me into all different types of classes, like a ballet class and gymnastics and everything else. She, like, would try and get me to do something. And I'd last 2 months and be like, hate it. I just don't want to do it anymore. Hate it. Hate the people. They're all, no. And it was the first time that it was my idea. Mum, can I go to this thing? It's called Jigsaw. It's on a Sunday. Can I go? And then it was, oh, I've heard of, what was it called? What's the one in London?
Sylvia Young.
Someone said about Sylvia Young, I want to go there on a Saturday. So I went there for a bit.
Ah, that's where you went. Brilliant.
It was my idea. Like, I pushed forward from my idea, and my parents were like, oh, let's run with this because she's coming up with this.
They'd never found
what I was keen on. And then because it came from me, they really stuck to it. And I just never looked back. I was just like, this is the only thing that sort of like feels right. I can't.
And is it from Sylvia Young then you got to hear of the EastEnders audition? How did the EastEnders audition come up?
It was from D&B, so the theatre.
Ah, right, okay.
School. I was on their sort of like kids agency, and we did sort of a workshop, like an EastEnders workshop, where the producers and the, not maybe not producers, like the casting director came in, and they had picked a couple of people to then see. So it was just kind of luck, really.
Yeah, that's amazing. Let's talk after EastEnders, because then EastEnders happened for most of your childhood, really, and growing up. You obviously are also famous to so many people. One of the biggest shows on television that's just finished again for winning the 19th series of I'm a Celebrity. You're in there with people like Roman Kemp, who I love, Ian Wright, Caitlyn Jenner. I mean, I remember Kate Garraway, Nadine Cord's name. I remember you being so excited by Caitlyn Jenner.
It was so iconic, I can't even. I was like...
Once in a lifetime opportunity, isn't it, basically?
Well, do you know what? Like, I'm not going to lie. I've never been, like, compelled to do something like that. I was, like, happy at EastEnders. And that, it was never a dream, like, oh, let's go into the jungle. But when it came to me, I thought, do you know what? Like, I don't know, I did feel like I needed something different, needed to push myself. And I thought... I don't know, for some reason, like, it's come to me a few times and I've always just been like, absolutely not, no. And then that time, I just didn't feel that. I just thought, no, I think it is time to do something like that. And I just done it and then regretted it, like, until it happened. I remember there was about 8 months of knowing I was doing it, but never speaking about it to anyone, because in my head I was like, I don't think I'm going to be able to go ahead with this. Even when I was on the plane on the way to Australia, they take your phone, you have no contact
Oh my
with like
God.
anyone. And I was sitting there like, this is a terrible idea. I'm going to waste everyone's time. I mean, like, I'm in a first class flight that I've never done first class before, all the way to Australia, and I'm going to waste their money. Like, am I going to get charged for this? Because I'm not doing this show. Like, everything was going through my head, and then all of a sudden you just do it, and it was the best thing ever.
Yeah, it's so amazing to watch. I love it. And I mean, I suppose this year out of any year, I think they've actually all gone so well. I mean, your year did as well. They used to want to go for arguments and stuff, and now it doesn't seem like it is like that. Because it must be, I mean, we obviously see, I always think this, we always see an hour or an hour and a half's edited version of 24 hours. I mean, the stuff we see where the trials and stuff, I mean, there must have been so much time that you were just sat there.
Oh, totally. There's a lot of boredom that comes with it. And when you've got people like Caitlyn Jenner and Roman Kemp is so chatty, and he's a radio presenter, so he's really good at sort of
getting
coming up
going
with things
and, yeah.
to do and starting a conversation. Let's play a game. Let's do this. And so he kept it really entertaining. It was great to have someone like him in there. And then Caitlyn, her stories were literally, you'd be like, tell us another one. Tell us about this. Tell us about that. So we did have a great cast of like interesting people and very different people, all different walks of life. And we enjoyed talking and like hearing everybody's stories and stuff. But yeah, like I napped every day. Cause
yeah, oh, I'm sure.
So many hours of the day that it's just a bit boring.
And I mean, when you came out, have you stayed in touch with all of them or some of them? Do you still have a WhatsApp group?
We do actually still have the WhatsApp group. And actually, when it was on this year, people started talking in it. But do you know what it's like? If I saw them, I'd be
yeah,
like,
you
scream
would
and
say,
run
of
up
course,
to them.
yeah.
Like, oh my goodness. But you just don't, obviously, like, I'm a keep myself to myself kind of person. Like, I've got my friends and I've got my family. And I think most people are like that. So I don't think I made, like, you know, friends that I would talk to every day, but we all shared that amazing
experience together. Well, it's like anything, isn't it? Whenever we do a job, you make friends, but it's like you go on to another job where you met. So it is part
totally,
and parcel
yeah.
of the industry, isn't it, really? It's not being horrible about anything. It's just like
no,
you,
of
you
course
just wouldn't
not.
Have time
yeah.
to
and
be
then when
best
someone
friends
does
with everyone.
something amazing in their work or whatever, we congratulate, you know, something big happens in life and it's like, you know, you congratulate and all stuff like that. But the chat kind of goes a little bit dead after a while, you know what I mean?
And what's it like? I'm really interested. What's it like? Like now we're doing an interview, we're chatting, you know, for a podcast. So it's like, you know, you're, but when you're in something like that, you realize that people do totally kind of forget the cameras are there because that's what I mean. So monitoring what you say is quite hard, isn't it?
Well, unless you are like a bad person, I just think
you don't need to watch what you say.
You don't need to worry. Like, people are gonna know. I don't know. Like, you can only be like your realest self in there. And I think that was a little bit of a worry at first where you think, I can't, as well, I'm quite upfront. I can't really fake it. So I remember thinking, if I don't like someone or if this is the case, like, I'm not gonna be able to hide it and then people are gonna hate me because I'll always like voice my opinion or things like that. But actually, in there, like, you can't be anything but yourself. Even if you're trying to put on an act, people will see through it. Like, there's been people, not I don't think in my year, but you watch things and you go, that's not real, that's not the real them. They're like really trying to be a nice person there, but you could tell. Like, then you meet them elsewhere and you're like, no,
yeah, yeah,
nice
yeah,
people, how do they get so far in life? But ultimately, the winners and the people that do really well, I do just think like they've just got like normal people,
just
kind
normal people.
Parts.
That's what people vote for. And you did get voted 50.
People can relate to. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and they're always relatable. The winners, I think that's what I mean. And people, an aspirational
so.
This year's winner. You won, but you got 50.61% of the vote. Andy was a close second, actually 49.39
so
to the end. And obviously, it does well for you career-wise afterwards, doesn't it? By the way, George. But I was going to say, boy, George apparently got 500,000 this year for doing it. Wow,
crazy.
I know, that is crazy, isn't it? Who wouldn't do it for half a million? But from it, I suppose, the fame went even bigger for you. You know, the winners, again, this doesn't happen all the time with winners. For you, it kind of blew up even more, didn't it? Social media became even bigger for you. And again, yeah, you then got a lot of press attention over things like weight and things like that. Did you again, do you just now, was it a surprise again after I'm a Celebrity that it all blew up even more? Because obviously you've been quite quiet since EastEnders.
Not really, because I had 1.6 million followers on Instagram. And obviously, even before EastEnders, there was a lot of like talk about, I don't know, like my relationship and getting pictures. That always comes with it. Like, it just is what it is. So I remember thinking and talking to my agent and saying, when I go in here, when I come out, it's going to be like, not necessarily how I'm going to be more famous. Not like that at all, but more just like, the heat's going to be on me, us, this, a lot more. You can't be stupid and go in there and think that that's not going to happen. Like, they're going to be on you. They're going to want the dirt. They're going to want all of this. Like, but to me, I was just like, I've got kids to feed. I want to do this. Like, I don't care now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, let them come for me sort of thing. Like,
And you also use it, though, positively. Like, things like weight, you use as a positive message out there. And you're honest about stuff like that, which I think you need, younger girls and boys need.
Listen, in life, you can't be anything but true and real. And I never, ever signed up to be like, I got EastEnders at 17. I didn't know who I was. No. Didn't know who I was as a person. I didn't sign up to be like a role model for people. I just didn't. I didn't sign up for that. I make mistakes. I say silly things or I'll do something. But that's real. That's me. Like, and that's what every single person in the universe, you know, like, it is life. We can't sugarcoat it. We can't and that's why I think, like, stop holding me or any other celebrity by like such high standards. This cancel. Like, who said that we weren't allowed to make mistakes? Who said that we weren't allowed to learn and grow and all of this? Like, it's a huge part of being a human being, and it's like really annoying because no one signed up for that.
No, I think the misconception is everyone wants our celebrities to be these perfect people because they know that life isn't perfect and they almost hold you on this pedestal of being perfect. It's like, well, that's not truthful. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it really isn't. And they're just the same as all of us that have, you know, like you and Dan are always in the papers with your, and I can't imagine my relationship being constantly in the paper for the ups and downs we have, which is everybody's relationships and marriages. And I mean, it must put such strain on you that it must, you know, like, do you just have to with Dan, like, go, right, we're just turning off? I mean, do you just not read the papers? How do you deal with it?
Well, a lot of the time, like, you get them sent and stuff. And to be honest, I'll be totally honest with you. Sometimes I'll look and be like, what? Like,
how did they get that?
Come from, like, this soul said that, or this soul said this. And, you know, like, one margin part of it is true, like a fact of, oh, we were in the Maldives. The reason for it and the extra parts are lies. Like, that's a lie. It's not a make or break holiday. Are you insane? This is a holiday that my husband has been saving up for, like most people would have to save up for, saving up to treat me on my 30th birthday for like over a year, saving up to try and take me there. And then it gets turned into a make or break. Who has that sort of money to just go, right?
Oh, yeah,
babe, babe, we're struggling. I'm going to whisk you off.
Yeah.
Maldives. Like, it's not real life. Like, use your brains. And then you do just have to go, do you know what?
I think most people see through that. I do think most people see through anyone with a head. With a good brain.
They really do.
Yeah.
And that's what's the blessing of social media is you can put your truth out. And
yes, this is the blessing.
The rest of it is just, you know, like, it really is just black and white. It's just ink. It's just nothing.
And it really is what they used to say. It's fish and chip paper, and it really is, because it is out there one day and gone the next. Do you know what I mean?
It's like it would bother me, but it doesn't anymore. I just think I'm too grown and too old now to just go like.
You have to let it brush off you. Otherwise, it'll cause you problems. Because social media, you saying that, is great, I think. Social media, like you said, is a blessing now for people to be able to go call out journalists, call out whoever. That the other side to that is obviously people, keyboard warriors at home have a voice. But I suppose you just take that like you do with the press. You just go, I mean, I think ignore. The minute you start retaliating with anyone, you're giving them a voice, really.
Definitely. The only time I really respond to things, if someone mentions my kids, my back goes up and I have to just call them something. Like, the words just come and my hands just type and I just
have to respond. I think that's like any mum would be, that's a natural response.
Exactly. But apart from that now, like I used to like Google myself when I was on EastEnders, this started. So it more started on my acting skills. I used to like read.
What were you doing?
Every day I used to do it as like a
form of self-harm. It's like bullying yourself, isn't it, basically?
Yeah, literally. Opening the doors to just untold amount of hate. It's just crazy. Like no normal human being that isn't in this public eye would ever understand the kind of hate that you see when you open them doors. And like once you both open them, it's so hard to shut.
It's hard to stop.
It really is. But then, you know, I had counselling. With EastEnders, working for the BBC was really lucky in a lot of ways as well, because they did really look after you. You had counselling whenever you needed. So I took advantage of that. I used it all the time. And that really, really helped me put things in boxes and put things into perspective for me and like whose opinion I really care about and value and stuff like that. So then it got easier. But when it becomes about your personal life and who you are as a person, when you think, no, that's not fair because you don't know me. Your back goes up.
That's
and you're
the
thinking,
thing, because your initial
that's not true. You're judging that on that piece of information, but that piece of information isn't true, and you're lying. So then you're calling me this, but this is the, and you care, and you go, hold on a minute, why do I care?
Why am I doing this? I think you care because we all have a perception about ourselves that you want to be liked, and I see it like your instant thing is like, well I want to go out there and tell the world that actually that didn't happen or whatever. And actually I think we're learning that keeping quiet is the best, because actually most people with any sense of a brain knows that what these papers publish a lot of the time is absolute rubbish. Do you know what I mean? So
there are so many times in these 11 years that I have had to just be quiet, and there's so many times I could have said so much, but I actually now, being a mum and being an adult now, I'm so glad that I was.
Because otherwise you just entered in... You've entered into kind of some brawl, like some schoolyard brawl. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. And you're right. The best thing to do is to stay quiet.
Stay above them. Stay above them. And
I've got such an amazing group of like the people that follow me on Instagram. Honestly, I would say like 99% of them are like fabulous, beautiful people. Like they're so funny. And I feel like they really get my personality. They know who I am. Like my DMs are flooded with people with great, great humour. That find the funny side of all of this now, and they'll message me like, oh, da, 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 and they'll come up with things, and I'm like, this is just brilliant. What an amazing like, relationship we've built over like 10 years of it now.
Well, and that kind of proves that most of the public out there are brilliant people, do you know what I mean? Rather than the few
100%.
That will get, as I've always said, you'll always remember one bad thing over like 100 negative things. I mean, over 100 positive things. It'll always be the one bad thing that'll stick in your brain. It's like, no, stop thinking like that.
But we must change that. And I think that is just through growth. And I, on the plane on the way back from a family holiday, I was listening to a podcast actually. And then it said that you have to give yourself like a pros and cons list and like really analyze yourself as who you are, like you're good, you're bad, everything about it. And I'd done it the other day and I was like, I could think of so many more cons than pros. And I was like, that's really bad. That's something I need to work on too. Like, I'm negative about myself, but like, I'll be positive about other people. So like, I just think it's always, you've got to like internally look within constantly, especially if someone that is affecting you that you don't even know them, but what they're saying is affecting you. There's a reason what they're saying is affecting you. You've got to look within yourself.
What the reason is. So true.
Can you do better? Is there something there that there's a lesson in this and you can do better at, or you can work around with the people around you to do better at? So like, it is what it is.
My thing has always been, you should always learn a lesson from anything bad in life, where you should always see a positive in everything as well. So
I think you always do. Yeah, definitely.
That helps you move on. God, we've got very deep and down at the end here. So what is next for you? I mean, you probably don't know. Would you like to do some more TV drama? I mean, you've said going back to EastEnders, it was your heart. You know, would you love to explore more acting roles?
I think I would. Yeah. I think I would like to do a little bit more TV. I would like to do like a musical of some sort, but
oh yeah,
I don't know really, and that's what's really fun about it. I'm spending so much time with my kids, and I'm working on my inner style and stuff like that, which is so fun and taking up a lot of my time. But since
Yeah,
going
and
back to EastEnders, I did
that's your
have that.
clothing range, isn't it?
Yes,
Yes,
and I had
which
that
is.
little fire in my belly again, like there is that part of me that isn't fulfilled anymore, like that creative side. That
And again,
that's what.
I think we all know when that comes. I just feel it's time to move on. Do you know what I mean? I think you always trust your instincts when
Definitely.
you get a little fire and you're like, right, yeah, let's do something about it.
100%. And so I don't really know at the moment, to be honest, but it's quite refreshing because I'm not putting that pressure on myself anymore.
Yeah. Just see what, and everything happens for a reason. Give Ben a call and just go straight to Hollywood.
Oh, I don't think I'm cut out for Hollywood.
No, oh God, I couldn't do Hollywood. Right, we're going to end with a multiple choice round. So this is a quick fire. You've got to choose one or the other. Here we go. Salty or sweet?
Sweet.
Cabbage or rhubarb? What a choice.
Oh, cabbage.
Danny or Kylie?
Oh, Kylie.
Mick or Alfie?
Oh, that's out of order. Alfie.
Cat, this is even more out of order. Cat or Whitney, but then relationship wise.
Whitney.
Yeah. Emmerdale or Corrie. Oof.
Emma Zhao.
The jungle or a spa.
The jungle.
Kangaroo penis or a sheep's eye.
Ooh, kangaroo penis all
Yeah.
day.
Eyes, it's the popping, isn't it? Ooh, burger or chips.
Burger.
Night in or night out.
Night in.
Yeah, so I think people past 25 now are saying night. Twitter or Instagram?
Instagram.
And oh, ending on the toughest one of all, Max or Tanya? Oh my God.
I can't answer that. I
No,
can't do
I knew you
that
wouldn't. You can have both. That's the only one you can have
I'll
both. Well, listen,
have
good luck for whatever you're going to do. You're going to smash it, whatever happens, because you are one of the nicest people in the business. And thank you for coming on Soap from the Box.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been lovely to catch up.
It's been so lovely to catch up. Speak to you soon.
See ya. Bye.
Thank you so much to Jacqueline Josser for joining me for a brand new episode of Soap from the Box. Remember, there are over 80 episodes to listen to right now. I can't quite believe it. Your biggest stars from the biggest TV shows, not just in the UK, Australia, Home and Away Neighbours, plus America, Kaleidoscope, the massive Netflix hit. You can listen to the cast talking to me. Coming later this week, Pop from the Box, the spin-off show, is back with Sophie Ellis-Bextor, and I'll be asking her all about Eurovision and all about that Glastonbury performance that wasn't on television. Controversial. Join me. Have a good week. See you Friday. Thank you.